morning, folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. We're so glad to see you. It's a beautiful day out there, and it's a beautiful time when God's people can come together and to praise Him and worship Him. We're so glad that you're a part of it this morning. We're so glad to see visitors with us this morning and some folks we haven't seen for a little while. We welcome each and every one of you. It's great to see people who take the time out to come and to praise the Lord for His greatness, His goodness to us, His mercy, His kindness, and compassion to mankind. Welcome to each and every one this morning. I want to share with you as we begin this morning from Psalms 85, reads like this. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captive of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from thy fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, God, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Will thou be angry with us forever? Will they draw out thine anger to all generations? Will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again unto folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, and glory dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteous and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall be before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. And we're so glad that you're here in his presence today. Let us worship him together.
For him to worship this morning, I'm going to use number 167, first and third, and I will have the prayer. The song is there.
Mother, arise and sing, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always there.
Privilege you granted us to gather in your heart house on the Lord's Day, sing songs of praise and hear thy word proclaimed. Now go with us to the further exercise of service. Be with Benny as he bring your morning message. These words we ask in thy name. Amen. Now for communion hymn, we're going to use number 170. 170, first and last verse.
Jesus, my Lord, you love me forever. eternity. Joy floods my soul, for Jesus has saved me, freed me from sin and long and enslaved me. His precious blood he gave to redeem. Now I belong to him. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me.
Once again, it's so good to see you in the Lord's house. It's really encouraging to see so many who desire to serve the Lord and to honor him with your presence in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Thank you for being here. We're glad to have visitors, Virginia's daughter Donna and husband. We're so glad to have you visit with us again. And then Jeff, we're so glad to see you and Vi back there, and we thank you for bringing her. And we've missed your face so long here, Vi. We're glad to see you. And welcome to each and every one. We last week being 4th of July, our liberty and our freedom that we have, and so preachers usually will use the closest Sunday to that for a message, but I didn't do that. I chose not to do that for a reason, and so I'm one day off, so ours are going to be today. I will be talking to you about America this morning and how our freedom and so forth. But I want to share this poem with you. And it goes like this. Lately, I have become concerned about the people I represent. I no longer see the pride in your eyes that I once seen when I traveled down your streets in the Veterans Day parades or on the 4th of July. The people that once saluted me and those that have held their hand over their heart as I passed down, just look around to see what others are doing. Could it be that they don't see me? This is what I must be, because I haven't changed. I'm still the same flag that accompanied so many of our countrymen as they defended this great country. As I wave in the breeze, I'm waving for each and every one of them. I represent the people of this country. And not the disappointment you may have with your government. I have never had a vote in anything. I stand for freedom that the people have given to this country. You are the heroes, not the government. You're the ones that go to work each day and do what is necessary to see that the children have clothes and shoes and plenty of food. That's why I call you heroes. That is the spirit that I represent. That is why I created as a That's why I was created as a constant reminder to the people of America that with pride in our country and strong belief in God, we can overcome any obstacle that is in our path. We're still the greatest country in the world. We are America. So the next time you pass by me, just give me a wink or allow a glimmer of pride or just a simple wave to let all the soldiers that have died so that you can live free and I can fly free, will know that their sacrifices was not in vain. Sign my flag. Happy birthday to a young lady tomorrow. You're not smiling. You don't want a happy birthday? Come on. Okay, Vicki. Yeah. No other announcements? We have five Sundays this month, don't we? Yeah, so this will be Hymn Single Month. All right, we look forward to that. All right, other things taking place. Tonight, Bible study, and what we're going to do tonight, we've been on some subjects and so forth, but what I've chosen to do tonight, we're going to start to study the book of Romans. Anybody that's here would like to further study in the book of Romans, if you will be here. I used to think that John and Acts was the two books that you ought to study most, but I've come to the conclusion that Romans is one of the books that we need to study. We haven't studied that much here as a group, but tonight we're going to start, and tonight will be an introduction to it, and there will be little handouts for questions, and we will be studying the next few weeks from the book of Romans, and I'll share with you why I think it's so important that we get more acquainted with the book of Romans than what we are. And so I hope that many of you will come and be a part of that. Let's see, anything else taking place? We have a great number of people on our prayer list still yet, but we have heard some things that, some reports of things good, and we're certainly seeing some things that are good happening around, and yet there's many that we need to keep in prayer for. We mentioned Doodle's past co-worker that had things on his brain that need to be worked with, and so they're making progress of planning and getting that all ready to happen. So we look for good things for that. We shared with you, and I see on our prayer list this morning is Angela's sister, and I shared with someone who was near death. In fact, they had given up, it's fair that the doctors had given up hope on it. And yet now we have news this week that we do have hope, and that it's very possibly now that she will be moved to a care home for a little while. And so things do happen different from what is some say might happen. So we see God at work. And again, we're so glad to see you by here. And we pray that God will continue to strengthen you and bless you. And our prayers will just gird you up and help you. And I hope that I didn't talk to Ron and Tina this morning. I don't know. You must have come in a little late. I didn't get to talk to you. And I should have asked you in the middle of the week. Things all worked out for the niece. Did the niece get home and everything? It all worked out and so forth. And God strikes you there. So we continue to pray for that family, lost loved one. And so God is so good, and God is blessing, and God will bless us as we continue to look to him. And that's one great thing that we have in life. We have a God who cares about us, who has compassion for us, and will help us, and will hear us, and will help us. So this morning, as we come to prayer time, be mindful for each one that we have on our list. Keep them in your hearts and in your prayers. Keep them on your lips as you pray to God daily. And then our service people, certainly keep them in your prayers. And those people who are shut in and can't care for themselves, that would love to be here where you're at today, but they're just not able. And
excuse me. I was talking with Ann Glass's daughter Thursday, and Ann is not doing good. They're trying to stay with her at all times now, and she's at home.
Okay. All right. Again, I say continue to keep in prayer for those who are shut in and can't care for themselves, because I know that it's hard on them, and they'd love to be here like you are and to be able to participate with the church family and such. So as we come to our prayer time, God is listening, and he's waiting to hear of your needs.
Our prayer hymn is number 217. Sing the first and fourth verse, and Benny will have a prayer. Let's all stand.
Jesus is all the world to me. I want my life at all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall. When I am sad,
Join together as we go to God in prayer. Dear God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have a God like you, one who's all-powerful, demonstrated that in your creation. As we look around it, we can see a power of all sources, the sustaining of all things, the giver of life, taker of life. God, we're so thankful that you're concerned about the well-being of mankind. So it is this morning we come and we thank you, dear God, for this past week and the blessings of it, for all the things that we have enjoyed and all the times that we've had. We thank you that it was a good week across the nation, Heavenly Father, that many recognize, and I hope they recognize the freedom that we have and the liberty we have here in this great America. And we know, Heavenly Father, you don't only love America. We know that you love other countries also, but we really feel, Heavenly Father, that America has a special place in your heart. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll continue to bless America in a great and wonderful way. And then, Heavenly Father, we look at our prayer list this morning, and we know that there's great needs in people's lives. But we really rejoice together in the fact that we see your hand of love and your hand of healing and your hand at work in comforting people, Heavenly Father, in their daily lives. We're so thankful, Heavenly Father, that to hear the reports of people doing better, of people being blessed, Heavenly Father. That's the kind of God you are. And Heavenly Father, we don't feel like we're imposing upon you as we come this morning, as some might say. But we come because we read in your word and we're invited. You tell us, you have told us to come, to bring our petitions, to bring our cares and concerns. And Jesus himself said, bring your cares to him and he would care for us and help us. And so you've done that, dear God, in a great and wonderful way. The greatest way you've cared for mankind is provided salvation through Christ Jesus, your son. We're so grateful for that. As we gathered around the Lord's table, we're reminded so wonderfully of that. But Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the help that we have through the Holy Spirit in our workaday life, in our going and our coming. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for each one present here this morning, and they're going out and they're coming in throughout this week, that you'll bless them in a good and wonderful way. Help us, Heavenly Father, to do those things which are good in your sight. Help us to honor you, Heavenly Father, in all ways. Help us always to share Jesus with those who do not know him as Savior yet, Heavenly Father. We thank you now and ask your blessing upon this worship service. Ask your blessing upon each person present here, dear God. Make all things work together for good for them because they love you. And more than that, you love them. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Invitation is number 347.
To the land.
Thank you, Kathleen and choir. Thank you so very much. We appreciate Lord's Day after Lord's Day of your special numbers, and we thank you for that. I meant to thank you people for being here Friday night, and we had a great time. I think maybe that we probably had the largest group that we have had for a long time. Maybe the largest group we've had on Friday night. And the food was good, and the fellowship was great, and the contests went on. And I think Michael probably thought maybe I'd forgot in the announcements to mention this, and he probably was hoping I would. But you see, the trophy is back up here, and I'm going to put it over on Vi's organ over here, so it won't be so noticeable. But the champs prevailed once again, 2 out of 3. And so we look forward to next month for another challenge. And some of you folks, get you a couple of guys together and make a challenge, and we'll see who can come off with it next time. All right. But it's a great time and just a lot of fun. As I shared with you from Psalm 6, and Psalms 58 and 6. I won't read that again, but I want to bring one verse back, and that's verse 6. And it says, you know, that wilt thou revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Now, 4th of July is come and gone. And the family gatherings was great. The parades were exceptional. The picnics across the nation were plagued by the politicians wanting to give their spill and their speeches about what America needs. The fireworks were spectacular. I read a little thing where there was an airline who was advertising that you come and take this trip. I forget now where you can fly from and fly to, but what it was advertising is the fact that if you will get a ride on this plane at this time, you will be able to see many fireworks across the nation. And they were fantastic. You know, I see them in our neighborhood and seen a few on the news that they had. And I'm not against that. I'm all for family gatherings and picnics and fireworks and things, just having a great time. But is that all that America needs? Is that really what America needs? I believe that America needs what Israel needed when we read in Psalm 6. And we find there that Israel was at a dark time, a very dark hour. And as good as it is, and it's good in America, I'm telling you, I can understand why everybody wants to come to America. It's great, isn't it? It's great to be an American, to live in America, the freedom we have and the liberties we have. It's great. It's great. But I can still say, as I read about Israel and its darkest hour, we're living at a pretty dark time in America. As good as it is, there's darkness here. The darkest hour of Israel. And this, in Psalms 58 and especially 6, there's a man, David. He is praying for his nation. Very dark hour for Israel. And David is saying, God, will you revive us again? Will you let us have rejoice in your goodness again? He's saying. David prayed that or said that in a way that he had hope. And I have great hope. I have great hope in America. And we have overcome and overcome and overcome by God's help, time after time. And God has blessed us, and He'll bless us again. I believe there's hope for our nation. But the key is God's people. People like you. God's people. And David is saying, will you revive us? Will you come and stir us up? Will you cause us to get our relationship back together with you? Help us to enjoy your blessings here. David was looking at that. But when I say revival, I don't mean a 2 or 3 day evangelistic thing. I don't mean, you know, a praise team that'll come and blow the roof off our building. I'm not looking for some newfangled thing that'll tickle people's ears. I'm talking for what I think David is crying out to God for. I'm talking about a real heartfelt prayer crying out to God. People with such purpose will bring back that which was lost. We have lost a lot. We have missed a lot of blessings from God because where we have fallen to. Yea, we need to be revived. We need to be drawn back to God. America needs that. And the only way the American will be good again, as they talk about, is when God's people are good at seeking God. I want to share a couple thoughts with you this morning concerning that. As we consider the fact that, yea, our people, as good as we are, and God's people are good, but we can be better. And we need to cry out to God. We need to look to God more. So what I see here in David is this, and what I believe that America needs now is a real great awakening, a real breakout of earnest prayer. We talk a lot about prayer. And I just wonder, you know, and I encouraged you last week, and I'm pretty well convinced you probably did, but I wonder, as America itself, as we thought about all across the nation and all the families that were gathered, all the activities that took place and so forth, I wonder how many pause to give thanks to God for the freedom that we have, the liberties we have in America. I wonder how many just took a time to stop and say, thank you, God, for the sacrifice of men and women who have given and for you have blessed this nation that we could be the great nation that we are. I wonder how many prayed that God would send a revival, a renewal of His Spirit to His people. A renewal of the Old Testament religion that pleased Him and shook America. In times past, that took place. You know, the church needs to be a place of prayer. Jesus said, Matthew 21 and 13, Jesus said, it is written, my house should be a house of prayer. And then He goes on and scolds the scribes and the Pharisees and the Jews of that day, said that you have made my house a den of thieves. Our nation, as great as it is, what have we made it into? What have we made it into? We can pray for a national revival, but if the church does not get fired up for God, our nation won't either. George Washington once said, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humble to implore His protection and favors. Prayer is a vital link to God. And churches need to make prayer a priority. That should be number one thing for us. No revival ever came to a nation without prayer. Never came to a nation without prayer. I've read in times past where God's people were seeking Him, and they would just come together as great masses of people would come together, and they would pray, and God would hear, and great things would happen. That's the kind of prayer that we need, you know. We need to to lay aside our pride and our hatred and all our selfishness up and come together not only as Porter Christian Church, but with the churches of God all across the nation, come together in masses of people and pray to God. That's the prayers that God hears, and that's the prayers that God answers for our nation. As Christians, we are not receiving the blessings that our nations once had. And we ought to look to our forefathers, and we can see how God blessed them. And we ought to learn something from them, should we not? Listen to Jeremiah. You know, Jeremiah 33:3 says, the word of God says, call upon me and I will answer. Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. You know, isn't it wonderful to look out and see when God's people are really drawing nigh to God and praying to God, and God is hearing and God is answering, and great things are happening, miraculous things are taking place, seems like all around us. It's wonderful. Jeremiah says, call upon me and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We don't have in the mind and thoughts of mankind what God can and will do for His people when they will really seek Him. God has always kept His word. He's always kept His promises. And James 4:3 says this, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. On this day in our history, we need to desperately pray. Pray to Almighty God. And God will hear. God will send renewing. God will draw people back to Him. And God will bless America and God's people. Our nation's in trouble. I don't have to tell you that. Our nation's in trouble. Abortion, pornography, illegal drugs, alcoholism, dysfunction in families, teen suicide, greed, and vice. Is it any wonder then that some of the things that are happening are happening? Is it any wonder then that there is a rise in natural disasters? There's a frequency in the economic crisis. There's a heartbreak. There's a heartbreak in almost every family. We have walked, as a nation, we have walked away from God. As a nation and as church has gotten comfortable with the freedom that we have in America. The church has been merged into society instead of being distinct. Folks, we cannot forget Psalms 9:17, which says this, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Oh, that America would not forget God. Oh, that America would not forget God. Israel departed from the Lord, and they even despised some of the commands that God had given them. America wouldn't do that, would they? No. They even despised some of the commands that he gave. Time after time, they did that. In Israel's darkest hour, they dwelt in humanism. Our biggest problem, we're dealing in secularism. God is waiting for his people. And I say his people, and when I say his people, I mean the church. God is waiting for the church, or his people, however you want to wake up and turn back to him so that he once again can send a refreshing of the Holy Spirit upon America. Oh, I'd love to see that, wouldn't you? You know, as good as God is to us, we haven't seen what God could do for us if we would allow him a freshening of the Spirit working upon the nation that we live in with it. How great it is, but how great it could be, how much greater it could be. The greatest need of America is seeking God. You know the Old Testament, you read the story about Ahab and Jezebel. And you know, we've read that and we've studied that sometimes and we've preached on it and we kind of get a little humor out of it. But that's really serious. When we think about Ahab and Jezebel, those were really dark times. Those were dark times for Israel. But you know, one man, stood against 400 prophets of Baal on a Mount Carmel, challenged 400 prophets of Baal. And when it was all done, Elijah cried out to God a very small but desperate prayer. And God consumed and showed the nation who he really was. Nehemiah is another one that comes to my mind. If you remember, we studied a lot about Nehemiah and Jerusalem when it fell a couple years ago. And I see Nehemiah as he comes back to Jerusalem and his city is destroyed. And at night, Nehemiah gets out, goes by himself, walks through the city, and he comes to the middle of the city. And Nehemiah cries out to God. This desperate prayer. And God hears. You see, one man, and another one man, desperately praying to God, really gets the attention of God. God hears. You see, it's desperate prayers that God hears. Until America realizes that we're in desperate need of the help of God, we'll not pray desperately. And until we begin to pray desperately, God will not hear what we want for our nation, I believe. And so the greatest need of great America is praying out to God. And God will renew His blessings to us if we will pray out to Him. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus had commissioned His disciples, and He had returned back to the Father in heaven, there on the right hand of the Father. And the 10, Peter and the other 10 apostles, stood there before the council, before the gathering there at Jerusalem, where there was millions of people gathered for the occasions. And Peter stood up among those 10 or 11 apostles, and this is what he said, and recognizing the need of Israel. And he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Ghost." At that time, just a few days after Jesus had ascended and Peter stood there, there was 120 of them. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter made that big, bold proclamation, there was 120. Before the day was over, there was 3,120. And God took that 3,120 people and won their world. Now I ask you, we're 120 and more. America is 3,120 and more. And if God's people will proclaim His way and His will and pray to God in heaven, God will hear and bless our nation. Listen, folks, it did happen. It's happened before, and it can happen again. If we want our nation to be what God would have it to be, it can be. But it's up to God's people. God has made it so plain, and God has told us exactly what to do to bring God back close to His people. To bring that relationship of America back with God, He has told us very plainly what to do. He says, if, that little word really is powerful, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. That's simple words coming from Almighty God, telling a nation what to do. I'm quite sure there's hundreds. I would venture to say that everybody here this morning, along with hundreds, maybe millions, thousands and millions across the nation, can quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. Oh, we love to quote that, don't we? Oh, we just love to quote that thing. We hear it quite often. But friends, that's the answer. That's the only way. that America will ever be as great as it ever was or ever will be. You see, it's been proven Democrats can't save America. It's been proven Republicans can't save America either. No political stand can save America. The military really can't save America, per se. Our modern culture can't save America. As well as it was set forth, and since been terribly abused, our Constitution cannot save America. The only thing, the one and only thing that can save America is God's people. It's God's people. God's people getting right with Him. Getting back in the groove of doing what He wills us to do. The church is God's people. And whatever I say the church or God's people, it's the same. The church is the only thing that can save America from the wrath of God. Only one thing and one thing only can save America, and that is God's people getting right with God. The only ones that can do this is people of God, the church, it's people like you who will stand up for the rights of mankind that God has given them. Listen, Romans 5:20, where sin and iniquity abound, their grace much more abound. The apostle is talking to the Romans, the Christians in Rome. I will read from 19 through 21. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more. That is, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life through Jesus Christ. You see, folks, even in our sins, even as bad as America is, God still loves America. And God loves the church. God loves you and me. And God wants His best for His people. And again, as I said, I think in my prayer that, you know, God doesn't only love America, He loves other nations also. But I really do believe that America has a special place in God's heart, because it was America that has really stood up for God. But we're going through a dark time. And the only way that we'll ever be like God wants us to be is through people like you, His church, His people. You know, We've said turn, and that one word there in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people will turn, you know, away from their sins, turn. I want to leave you with this. If I can get this the way I had it. Remember this, turn. T, take time. Take time to pray. Take time to share the good things of Almighty God. You understand. We need to understand that we have fallen short of what God would have us to do. And we need to understand that God will bless us if we'll turn back to Him. Take time and understand where we're at and what we have done. And R is this. Repent. We as individuals need often to repent. We as a church need to repent at times. And right now, America is at a time we need to repent and turn back to God. End is now. It's never too soon. But it can be too late. Turn now back to God, America, and His people. If you've been drawn away from God, He wants you to turn back to Him today. Renew your relationship and stand up for the will and way of God and help America serve Him well. As we stand and sing the first verse of our invitation hymn.
And early, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home. See on the portals His waiting and watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly and early, Jesus is calling, calling those saints.
Thank you, wonderful people of God, for being in the Lord's house, and what an encouragement it is to see you and to know that you seek He who created all and sustains all and giver of all and helper in all ways. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the nation that we live in. We thank you that we are Americans and we're blessed as we are. But Heavenly Father, we know that we have fallen short. And we want once again to be renewed. We desire, Heavenly Father, a refreshing of your spirit that will bring the good things back to America that we once enjoyed and our forefathers lived for. So now, Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the good people gathered here, the people of God that make a difference. So we pray, Heavenly Father, for each one as we go out of this place today and we go our separate ways, that wherever we're found this week, that we'll be doing those things that'll make a difference. That we will be praying, that we will be upholding the truths that you have set forth for us as a not only as a nation, but as a people, as a church. So now once again we ask, dear God, forgive us for our shortcomings. Take us as we leave this place and use us in a great way this week to do those things which you'd have us to do to make this nation great, that honors you until the Lord comes, we pray in His name. Amen.